Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington, where two aircraft collided midair and plunged into the Potomac River. A military Black Hawk helicopter from Fort Belvoir in Virginia had three soldiers on board, and an American Airlines flight from Wichita, Kansas was carrying 64, among them Hamad Raza's wife. He spoke to reporter Larry Miller from WUSA-TV.
He showed me the text message, that the last one that he received from his 26-year-old wife, where she said that she was preparing to land in about 20 minutes. And it was heartbreaking to hear what this man was going through. I asked him, what sort of information had he received from the airline? He said nothing. Anything from investigators? Nothing. He said it wasn't until he looked on social media that he realized something had happened, and he brought his way down here to the airport.
D.C. Fire Chief John Donnelly tells us the search and rescue operation is a complicated one.
It's a highly complex operation. The conditions out there are extremely rough for the responders. It's cold. They're dealing with relatively windy conditions. Wind is hard out on the river.
So far, 18 bodies have been recovered. Robert Sumwalt is the former chairman of the NTSB.
I was an airline pilot for 24 years. I've landed on that runway many times. You're in the turn. You're looking to line up with that runway. You're not looking out here for other traffic at that point. I think that's really where their focus was. Now, the real question is, where was the focus of that helicopter crew?
In a post on Truth Social, President Trump questioned the tactics of the military helicopter and the air traffic controllers. In a later post, he wrote, "What a terrible night this has been. God bless you all." To Capitol Hill now, where more confirmation hearings are set for later today, including Kash Patel, Trump's nominee for FBI director. Here's reporter Tarian Small.
Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee concerned the staunch Trump loyalists will compromise the Bureau's independence. His hearing also comes days after an anonymous whistleblower penned a letter claiming Patel leaked information to the press during a 2020 hostage recovery mission in Yemen.
In North Carolina, at least three wildfires ignited yesterday near several towns that were already devastated by Hurricane Helene. WSPA-TV reporter Chloe Salsameda.
The Crooked Creek Fire is actually burning down the hillside coming in our direction. Now, it's important to note that the emergency management director tells us that there is a lot of debris left over from Hurricane Helene that is still on the ground here in McDowell County that can add fuel to this fire.
And fueling those flames are very gusty winds in the area. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
A Packers coach interviews with the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers linebackers coach Anthony Cappadelli has an interview for the defensive coordinator job of the Jacksonville Jaguars under new head coach Liam Cohen. Former Packers cornerback Al Harris hired by the Chicago Bears as a defensive backs coach. Harris has been an assistant for Andy Reid in Kansas City and the Dallas Cowboys under Mike McCarthy. College basketball, the Badgers on the road tonight in Maryland. Greg Garden, why the Badgers have now moved up to 17th in the rankings.
It's part system, it's part players, you know, that we got really good players that buy into it, love playing in it.
Marquette with a 78-69 win over Butler. NBA, the Bucks losing 125-117 to the Trailblazers in Portland.
I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddie Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend, while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Eventually, our skies turning partly cloudy in the overnight as temperatures drop into the lower 20s. Light winds. On Thursday, plentiful sunshine with highs in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. Winds gusty. Colder conditions Friday. Right now, it's 22.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Wednesday, January 29th. The average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin today, $3.11. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the dairy states, $5.48. We have a very busy show coming up today. Calvin, Greg, of course, is off. He's off for a couple of days. He will be back next Tuesday. But Emily Zephos is going to be joining us at 10:33. She's a mom. She is a community advocate. She is on the ground. We're going to be talking about a birthing center now in western Wisconsin considering closing and what that is going to mean. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here after the 11 o'clock news. The hearing for Robert Kennedy Jr. is underway as we speak to be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services. And we're going to talk to Dr. Lyerly about what that would mean for us here in Wisconsin, especially when it comes to our health, the health of our children, and getting vaccinated for things that have essentially been eradicated, like polio. We'll talk about that with Dr. Lyerly after the 11 o'clock news, and we will wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the I Can't Believe It's Butter edition. If you ever have a thing that you think should not be, send it in to Greg and Calvin and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. That's the address also if you have a guest that you think would be great that we should have on the show. Maybe there's something going on in your community that you think needs a little spotlight. Or if you just want to make a complaint, absolutely send it in. Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Galvin, we're to start off, though, with the big news that broke yesterday and essentially caused panic pretty much around the country. Donald Trump announced a spending freeze. Kind of out of nowhere, this isn't something that he campaigned upon. A federal judge fortunately stepped in and blocked this freeze of federal grants and loans. A nutrition program for low-income Americans, they're looking for an explanation on this funding pause throughout the day. This is from the Bulwark. The Trump White House tried to deflect, obfuscate, and bluster. Republicans found themselves scrambling to assure voters that Donald Trump didn't really mean what he had said. There were Medicaid portals that shut down all over the country, and people were freaking out.
Well, I guess with Donald Trump, it's kind of expect the unexpected.
Expect chaos?
Yeah, and I mean, while he didn't campaign on this, I feel like there was always kind of this undercurrent that something like this could happen, as far as, because I mean, the tax cuts for the wealthy have to be paid for somehow.
Absolutely. I mean, and we're talking about, I have seen numerous different predictions on what this will cost the American people, but just extending Donald Trump's 2017 tax cuts is going to add another $4 trillion to the deficit. That's going to have to be paid for somewhere. So apparently we want to cut Meals on Wheels for senior citizens, stopping Head Start programs, canceling school lunches. That's the best way to do some trimming in the federal government. It seems to me that there are some agencies within the federal government, it should be much easier to look at where you can trim some things. I don't know. I'm thinking about the Department of Defense, which, if I remember correctly, has not successfully passed an audit for a decade. Think about that. The Department of Defense hasn't been able to successfully pass an audit for a decade. But we're going to go after Head Start programs and seniors who get Meals on Wheels. Sure, makes perfect sense to me. In fact, back in July of last year, on July 24th of 2024, Wisconsin's very own Glenn Grothman held a hearing on wasteful spending within the Department of Defense. Do you remember, Calvin, maybe this is a little before your time, when we would hear about the $900 hammers that the Department of Defense was buying, when you could buy like a $35 hammer?
No, I'm not familiar with that reference. But I mean, to me, it just seems like the Department of Defense is the easiest, I guess, portion of the government for private equity and private contractors to latch on to and
get some contracts, and some nice juicy contracts.
Yes, siphon money from. Because anything that a private company could do could be spun in a way that the Department of Defense could say that
we need
it's
this.
A priority.
Right. Yeah. We need this. Well, surprisingly, and not among many, there was some pushback yesterday, even among some Republicans, certainly not all, because among the things that would have been shut down, again, this has been stayed now until Monday, these halts, these freezes in federal funding. But the order also includes a section called Terminating the Green New Deal that freezes hundreds of billions of dollars in money for various infrastructure projects that were launched during the Biden administration. And that money has already been approved when they passed the Inflation Reduction Act and the bipartisan infrastructure law. Now, members of Congress have gone back to their districts, even if they voted against the infrastructure law and the Inflation Reduction Act. They've gone back to their districts and said, look, I brought back $7 billion for our bridge. Look, I brought back millions of dollars so we can do upgrades for our airport. Now they're a little peeved by this. Representative Don Bacon, a Republican from Nebraska, represents a purple district in the Omaha area. He told a publication that Donald Trump's executive order is alarming for his constituents. They have been counting on $73 million from the bipartisan infrastructure law to upgrade the airport in Omaha. Representative Bacon said, you can't just determine what laws you want to execute and which you don't. I don't know. It looks like you can. Bacon said that executive orders from presidents from both sides have gotten out of hand. You can't change the law, Representative Bacon said. I think Republicans should stay true to that notion. Again, according to The Atlantic, he did call the White House after that EO was signed. And then the Office of Management and Budget, which, by the way, is being headed up by Russell Vogt, one of the main architects of Project 2025, which a lot of Trump supporters say that wasn't a thing. They hadn't heard anything about it. None of their friends had heard anything about it, so therefore it wasn't important. Yeah, it's important. Some of these things that happened yesterday are directly out of the Project 2025 playbook. It's just accurate. The memo clarifying the scope of the Green New Deal section of this executive order. Yeah, the clarifications, though, not so clear. Representative Rosa DeLauro from Connecticut's Democrat, the ranking member of the House Appropriations Committee, says she thinks everything is at risk, calling Trump's executive order illegal and calling his move to freeze federal funds as stealing. She said it's creating chaos. I honestly don't think the people who are dealing with this know what they're doing. That's certainly reassuring.
What doesn't completely make sense to me about, and this is comes from my purely cynical view that all politicians, particularly Republicans' goal is to line the pockets of business owners. But so from that outlook, stopping this infrastructure funding, like the federal government doesn't have road constructors. They're hiring private contractors.
Exactly.
So I guess the people who own these contracting firms that build roads just don't have the cash to interest Republicans. I'm not sure.
Are they not making big enough donations?
Yeah, I guess that's what I was alluding to.
I could, yes, I can see where that would be a problem. Again, going back to Russell Vogt, leading architect of the Project 2025 playbook, during his hearing last week, he refused to say if he would allow the president to violate the Impoundment Control Act of 1974 that stops presidents from denying the disbursements of federal funds already approved by Congress. He would not say under oath if Trump will abide by the law. Telling the Senate Budget Committee for 200 years, presidents had the ability to spend less than an appropriation if they could do it for less. This doesn't change the fact that Donald Trump does not have the power of the purse. And these funds were already approved by Congress. So I don't know exactly on which authority Donald Trump can come in and say, no, you have to stop all this now because I want you to. 855-752-4842. What do you think about this move yesterday by the Trump administration? Does this concern you at all? We have been reaching out to several Meals on Wheels programs because that was one of the ones that there was a lot of concern that were going to be affected. Because again, with a lot of these agencies, the way this memo was written, it didn't affect payments to individuals. It affected payments, freezing payments to agencies, which then distribute that money to organizations like Meals on Wheels. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Tony on the live stream says, wait, that OMB order didn't lower prices? No, Tony, I know. It's shocking. When we return, all the best press secretaries will do a little rundown and a little trip down memory lane. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The memo says we gotta work to make the facts with the false charges. Pull the wool over the eyes of the filthy masses.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, the Calvinator, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Greg is off just for a couple of days. He will be back next Tuesday. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Emily Sevos will be joining us. She's a community organizer and advocate, also a mom and a former educator. And we are going to be talking about the closing of what looks like yet another birthing center in Wisconsin. And that is having major ramifications on the ground. So we will be talking about that after the 10:30 news. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here after 11 o'clock. The hearing for Robert Kennedy Jr. to be head of Health and Human Services is going on as we speak. Carolyn Kennedy had a devastating video released yesterday about her cousin, Bob Jr. Whether or not this will have any effect on our senators who get to confirm Bob Jr. remains to be seen, but we will talk about what this would mean for our health and the health of our children here in Wisconsin if Robert Kennedy Jr. is confirmed as the head of Health and Human Services. That's coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Want to remind you as well, we need you to be a voter. It's very, very important that we all stay involved. This last election, millions of people sat out and did not cast a ballot. And I heard Dom Salvia say, I think, Calvin, that you might not do politics, but at some point politics is going to do you. So it's better if you get involved and stay informed. Our Wisconsin spring primary election is Tuesday, February 18th. You can check your voter registration status, find out your polling place, and make a plan to be a voter in the spring election. Just go to myvote.wi.gov. And then the real important one, the spring general election, Tuesday, April 1st. That's where the Supreme Court race will be on the ballot. Republican Brad Schimmel versus Democrat Susan Crawford for a spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of course, the current court is the only reason we have fairer maps. So if we would like to go backwards, I think that should be an easy choice. If we would like to go backwards to less fair maps and essentially consolidating power among Wisconsin Republicans, cast your vote for Brad Schimmel, because it's pretty much a given, I would say, that he will vote. However, I don't know, Robin Voss would like him to vote. I did want to go just briefly, Calvin, because it makes me laugh. Have a little run down memory lane. Donald Trump's latest and newest press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, held her first press conference yesterday. She is the youngest press secretary ever. She's 27 years old. But remember some of Donald Trump's greatest press secretary hits, including his very first one, Sean Spicer. Sean Spicer, who famously came out after Trump's first inauguration, screeching that it was the biggest crowd who'd ever seen an inauguration ever, even though we saw the evidence with our own little two eyes.
Yeah, as a general rule, I don't envy press secretaries.
I don't disagree with you. It's a tough spot to be in.
I mean, yeah, the media just asks really loaded questions, and especially things that they're probably not permitted to speak on a lot of times. So it's just like the position of being in an awkward position.
No doubt about it. But when you compare Jen Psaki,
yes,
who was brilliant and always super well prepared, I don't think I ever saw her get thrown off her game.
Yeah, no, there's definitely good ones and bad ones, and I think Donald Trump has a string of bad ones.
All the best people, Calvin, all the best press secretary, Sean Spicer, was his first one. Then, of course, he moved on to Sarah Sanders, who famously, Michelle Wolf, the comedian, when she spoke at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, did a joke about Sarah Sanders and said she has the ability to burn facts and then use it as the perfect smoky eyeshadow.
Yeah, I definitely remember Sarah Sanders better than Sean Spicer.
Sean didn't last very long.
Yeah, and I don't know. She definitely fit the ridiculousness of the administration.
After Sarah Sanders, it was Stephanie Grisham. I don't know that Stephanie ever held any press conferences. She might have held one. And then Kayleigh McEnany, also one of the press secretaries for Donald Trump in his first administration. This time around, though, as we said, it is Caroline Leavitt, 27 years old, who held her first press conference yesterday. She said that there have been 3,500 arrests so far that ICE has made since Donald Trump has been in office. She was asked how many of these people have a criminal record versus those who are just in the country illegally. Her response was, quote, all of them, because they illegally broke our nation's laws. So can you legally break our nation's laws? Because Caroline just said they illegally broke our nation's laws.
Well, you can legally break the laws if you're president of the United States.
That's true. The Supreme Court said that.
So that's the one stipulation.
There's the caveat right there. It was interesting. Reporter again asked if all the people who have been arrested had criminal records, if they broke our nation's laws. Yes, they are a criminal. Federal immigration authorities have arrested, again, about 3,500 illegal immigrants, mainly targeting those with criminal records. On Sunday, ICE arrested 1,000 people and detained 554. We will be keeping you up to date on all things the Trump administration. A couple of texts I wanted to share before we go to the news. Ronnie from Horicon, we were talking about Trump's executive order yesterday that halted all this federal money that has been stayed now until Monday. And we were talking about some of the government waste. Jane and Calvin, remember Bill Proxmeyer, Wisconsin senator, had a Golden Fleece Award for government waste. For example, Department of Defense paying for screws that cost $500 a piece. Laura from Mequon, listening on WAUK, it sounds like the Trump administration is trying to see how far they can push the government closer to a dictatorship, step by step, inch by inch. If they get away with this, what's next? News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News special report. Two aircraft collided midair above Washington, D.C. An American Airlines flight and a military helicopter crashed down into the Potomac River. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser.
The focus now is rescuing people, and that's what all of our personnel are focused on.
And CBS's Chris Van Cleve with an update on those search and rescue efforts.
We are hearing from sources at least 18 bodies had been recovered. No survivors. What was described to me as three debris fields in the water there, the Potomac River.
This man was near the airport and noticed something was off.
We noticed the planes started having irregular patterns and they all kind of dispersed from their regular landing patterns.
There are no planes taking off or landing at the airport right now as the search for survivors continues. They will resume at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. CBS News Special Report. I'm Stacy Lynn.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A Packers coach interviews with the Jaguars. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL Packers linebackers coach Anthony Cappadelli has an interview for the defensive coordinator job of the Jacksonville Jaguars under new head coach Liam Cohen. Former Packers cornerback Al Harris hired by the Chicago Bears as a defensive backs coach. Harris has been an assistant for Andy Reid in Kansas City and the Dallas Cowboys under Mike McCarthy. College basketball, the Badgers on the road tonight in Maryland. Greg Garden, why the Badgers have now moved up to 17th in the rankings.
It's part system, it's part players, you know, that we got really good players that buy into it, love playing in it.
Marquette with a 78-69 win over Butler. NBA, the Bucks losing 125-117 to the Trailblazers in Portland.
I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The Night Agent is a show we've talked about periodically on Nightlight. The second season just dropped on Netflix, and lots of people seem to be finding it. The spy drama drew 14 million viewers in its first 5 days, and according to TheWrap.com, landed in the top 10 most viewed shows in 90 countries. The plot finds an FBI agent sitting in a room in the basement of the White House monitoring a phone that supposedly never rings. Until it does, and a conspiracy unfolds. Great premise, and a pretty good show. If you like heist films, you might enjoy the film Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Gerard Butler is back playing Big Nick, an L.A. County Sheriff's detective, in the follow-up to the first Den of Thieves from 2018. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is also back as bad guy Donnie Wilson, trying to evade Big Nick, who tracks him across Europe. Jackson's character disappeared at the end of Den of Thieves 1, leaving the story ripe for sequel. The film could be 15 minutes shorter, but does deliver with some high-speed thrills and gunfights through beautiful settings in Europe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Eventually, our skies turning partly cloudy in the overnight as temperatures drop into the lower 20s. Light winds. On Thursday, plentiful sunshine with highs in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. Winds gusty. Colder conditions Friday. It's 24 at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Excited to be joined by our guest. She's back again. Emily Zuffos is a former teacher, a mom, and the county party chair for the Democrats in Outagamie County. Good morning, Emily. Thank you so very much for being here. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back.
Great. We're going to start this. I saw this morning on WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio, from Joe Schultz. And the headline reads, "We're feeling powerless. Wapaka community rallies to oppose ThetaCare's planned birthing unit closure. They would end their labor and delivery services at the Wapaka Hospital on February 15th. You were on the ground yesterday hearing from folks. I can't even imagine what they're feeling.
Yeah, I was talking with a nurse that lives in New London, but is very familiar with the services Wapaka provides. And that community is really, they're feeling like they're up a creek in more ways than one when it comes to the services they're able to, you know, receive and what that's going to do to their community, not only in the short term, but down the road as well.
Well, and this is a growing problem, not just in parts of Wisconsin, but all over the country, and especially in rural areas with smaller hospitals closing. We still have the Joint Finance Committee here in Wisconsin that is still sitting on money that was approved to go to Western Wisconsin when their hospitals closed. And yet, you know, that money hasn't been given out yet. So what does this mean? In late November, apparently one couple found out that ThetaCare would end its labor and delivery services at its Wapaka Hospital on February 15th. So for folks like this woman cited in this article, she's like, "I'm 3.5 weeks away from delivering. What am I supposed to do now?"
I know. And like, having had, kids not too long ago, like just knowing all of the uncertainties that you face during a pregnancy and that, even in seemingly normal circumstances, things can go wrong. And to have like the care that you need that is appropriate to your situation nearby is so critical. And I feel for those individuals because my goodness, it's a lot of extra stress in an already stressful time.
Absolutely. And it seems to me, Emily, and I, again, just from things I've read and comments I've seen from politicians, I think there is this misguided notion that most pregnancies are just smooth sailing, baby. Mm-hmm. Everything is fine. My wife had 3 children and all of her pregnancies were fine. And therefore, that leads to pregnancy is fine.
And it's so anecdotal in that it's like based on that one personal experience you had, and also like the assumption that everyone's going to experience the world in the same way or has the same access to transportation or anything like that. Like all of these things need to be taken into consideration. And I think like one of the interesting angles of this is that we need to like call out the fact that oftentimes these are ultimately the result of like policy choices along the way that were good, bad, or otherwise. And in this case, it's things like expanding Medicaid and making sure reimbursement is appropriate so that there are providers across the state that are incentivized to accept Medicaid and making enough money so the hospitals aren't just eating it. Like there's so many policy choices that are attached to this. And then ultimately, like those expectant parents are the ones that are suffering and worried at the end of it all. And we just need to like, it's calling for being proactive rather than reactive is such an important part of all of this.
Well, and now that you brought up Medicaid, going back to what happened yesterday with the Trump administration releasing this executive order, halting, freezing federal money to agencies, Medicaid portals all over the country were not accessible for hours yesterday, despite claims from the Trump administration that that wasn't happening or it wasn't that big of a deal. This should be concerning for everyone, especially when we hear from the same administration how important children are and how important it is for women to have more children, Emily. And yet at the same time, where is the funding to help women have healthy children? That apparently is just on them.
Yeah. And I feel like you're operating under the assumption that the system is set up for people to be able to thrive in every situation. And it's not that. And so you need these programs. And I think like when I was appalled because I think there were, according to how it was written and rolled out, 2,600 programs that potentially are, you know, that are having to go through the, are you, you know, does this promote gender ideology and all the crazy, crazy questions. And I think like you're looking through them, it affects our agricultural sector. It affects like our healthcare. There's so many different pieces because ultimately, like as much as people like to hate on the government, there are some really necessary services that are provided by our government. And to take those away is going to have real world impacts and implications that are like terrible. They're going to turn emergencies into tragedies. They're going to, you know, make it a lot harder for our farmers potentially to be able to survive. Like there's so many different people across the state of Wisconsin that would be affected by this.
It's interesting that you say that. Todd Alba had Luke Mathers on yesterday on his show, and Luke said the same thing as far as we're all about to get a crash course in just how the government works and how so many things are intertwined and all the many services that our government provides that we don't think about because they're always there, right?
Yep, exactly. And it's dependent upon the, like, you know, I feel like it's so much of this is headlines, right? Like that's what it is. The smoke and mirrors kind of show. That's what this administration always has been and will be. But like, how do we break through that, right? Like how do we, because I think there was with Tom Tiffany up in the 7th did like a listen, he was out on the road, I think in Rice Lake or around there yesterday.
Yes.
And I think like, we need to make sure that in every situation we are calling to direct like attention and accountability. Hey, here's how it's impacting me. Like, right. Like Head Start programs,
yep.
Mental health program, like cancer research.
Meals on Wheels.
Yes, I know. It's really a terrible, terrible thing.
It is. And again, this came out of nowhere. This wasn't something that Trump had campaigned on or talked about. Gosh, it's almost reminiscent of the whole Act 10 thing with Scott Walker, who never mentioned it when he was on the campaign trail. And then that was one of the first things he shoved through when he got elected. It's like, let's not tell him. We'll just surprise him.
Yeah. And it's been like really, you know, he's been dehumanizing and othering all of these groups of people that are like, you know, dependent on these programs and things like that. And so that it's set it up for people to be like, yeah, we should, you know, like that they're able to take some of that like sentiment that they've created, and then they're going to push through things and people will be okay with it without realizing it until it's too late, right? Until
they realize that it's their daughter who's going to get affected, or their son, or their or their elderly parent who is able to stay at home because in part of a program like Meals on Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then it's going to really hit home. 855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, sir. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning. Well, it's kind of ironic. Trump, first of all, fires all the people who are responsible for checking and making sure that government is efficient and its money is not wasted. Those are called inspectors general, I think.
Yep.
And then he says, oh, we got to check into the waste on this, so we're going to cancel these programs until we figured out what's waste. Excuse me? You had people on board whose total job was supposed to be doing something like that. The hypocrisy just, it you know, I should really expect it by now, but it does continue to amaze me.
You know what, though, Jack? I think we're at a point, unfortunately, where some people are hypocrisy immune. And they're certainly shame immune. Don't you think?
Oh, you got that right. I don't remember exactly. I think it comes from the McCarthy era, where someone was talking to either McCarthy or something like that in a hearing, and the statement was, Senator, have you no shame? Well, in this case, it's Mr. President, have you no shame? And the answer is clearly, nah.
Well, and now it's a badge. Now I think it's a badge of honor. I really do. It's like, yep, I have no shame. You can play the words that I said 2 months ago to my face, and I don't care. If it completely goes against what I am saying right now, that doesn't bother me. I feel no shame. Yep, whatever. Let's move on. Thanks, Jack. Always appreciate you checking in and very much appreciate you listening. If you're just joining us, Emily Zephos is our guest, former teacher and a county party chair in Outagamie County. Last time we had you on, Amy, we were talking about knocking on doors and what you would like to see the DNC do going forward. But right now we're talking about some of the on-the-ground ramifications here in Wisconsin, particularly about ThetaCare in Wausau ending its labor and delivery services at its Waupaca Hospital on February 15th. And you brought up something I think is really important, Emily. We've been pushing in Wisconsin now for this expansion for Medicaid for new moms because what is it currently, a month? They get coverage for a month? And there's a push for them to get coverage for an entire year because I know it's shocking, but when you have a baby, it's not like the next day your body just goes shoom and goes right back to normal.
Right. Well, I mean that, and then we could like also go into the childcare crisis, and then how do you find childcare in a timely, you know, within that amount of time? So there's a lot of factors that you have to consider with that. But yeah, it's we don't do, I think, like the policy decision making that needs to be done to assist families as they're growing, right? If I mean, you mentioned at the top of the segment that, you know, we want people to have more babies, and that's like the whole thing. Make it easier for people to make that decision by helping them along the way in it, like in the fact that this society, this system that we set up is only if like you achieve a certain amount of wealth or you have this certain support system. Like, no, you need to make it, we need to experience some sort of equity across the board so that it's easier for us.
For everybody. And what these hospital closings do and what the lack of childcare does is it discourages young families from moving here. If you're a newly married couple and you want to have three kids, why would you come to a state where you're going to have to drive an hour to get hospital care? And what if you have complications with your delivery? That is going to prevent people from moving here. And we're already behind in population here in Wisconsin.
And I think too, like an interesting point, because I ran in like a pretty rural district this last cycle. And not only are we talking about like this, you know, these maternity wards closing in the West, the hospitals closing, but also like we are struggling with like our emergency services in general in rural Wisconsin. And so like I have, you know, you talk to many, many people that are like, you know, we want people to move to these towns and we want to keep, you know, Waupaca or New London or anything else thriving. And I'm like, well, this is not, like, to your point, it's not helping.
No.
And then on top, you have so many compounding issues on top of it. And all like, it's all so connected, Jane.
Isn't that interesting? I know, but you're right. It's all interconnected. And this also plays into our schools and funding our public schools. And they want to push all this money toward voucher schools and charter schools. Well, there aren't a lot of those options in our more rural areas of the state. Their public school is it. And again, we want young families moving here. They need somewhere to send their kids, which is most often the public school.
Yes. And I think like, again, like it's the whole with these federal, you know, aid threats and the stoppage of the grants and things like that. We are going to see if that should come to fruition. All of those rural programs, again, are funded federally. So when you're talking healthcare or schools or infrastructure, all of that, we are going to see delays. We are going to see cuts. And like, it's going to hit hardest the people that can afford it least.
Absolutely.
Right? I can't get over the broad sweeping motion that was made and how it did it. I always say the cruelty is the point, right? Like there is zero regard for humans and the experiences that we have in this country. And it's just really a sad, sad time.
Well, and there is not going to be any celebration on one side that the other side is going to be suffering because we're all going to be suffering from this. And as co-president Elon Musk already said, it's just going to be 2 years of hardship, you guys, and then it's all going to be roses. We're going to continue our conversation with Emily Zephos. Bill, I see you on the line. Hang on with us. We'll take you when we come back. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast. We're statewide. We're countrywide. We are global if you got the app, baby, on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that people are fleeing from. Come over to Blue Sky. It's a nice place over there. We're joined by Emily Zephos. She is a former educator and the county party chair for the Democrats in Outagamie County. Really delighted to have you here, Emily. Before we went to the break, we were talking about the birthing center at Theta Care in Wausau, going to be closing February 15th. And we were talking about the interconnectedness of so many things that the government provides and this ongoing problem with attracting young families to Wisconsin. But when we starve our public schools and we close our hospitals and we make these things more difficult, shockingly, that is not a lure for younger families to relocate here. Bill from Oconomowoc has been very patient. Good morning, Bill. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say about this? Hey, Bill. Bill, are you there? Well, Bill, you're not coming through. If you would like to call back, please do so. 855-752-4842. Just wanted to remind folks, after the 11 o'clock news, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be joining us. We're going to be talking about Robert Kennedy Jr., who is having confirmations hearing as we speak. It's up on the TV here in the studio. And Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson was just talking with many, many sheets of paper. And I'm sure he's making critically important points, because we know that Ron Johnson is an expert when it comes to infectious diseases and all those things. But we'll be talking about Robert Kennedy Jr.'s qualifications to be the head of the Department of Health and Human Services after the 11 o'clock news. You had mentioned, Emily, that Tom Tiffany actually held a listening session yesterday. And it's interesting that one attendee there was complaining to Tom Tiffany that he and his brother-in-law are having a tough time with the disability compensation programs offered by the VA. This one gentleman explained how he was a helicopter pilot. He has a lingering hand injury, hearing loss, other issues because of his exposure to toxic chemicals. but he says the VA doesn't provide the full amount of compensation he should be receiving. Tom Tiffany said, don't worry, it's always a priority with veterans. And then was it an hour later that Donald Trump issued that memo, essentially shutting down and freezing all federal financial assistance, including the VA's disability compensation program?
Yeah. That's what I mean. And that's that one really stuck out to me because like the 7th is, you know, much of northern Wisconsin.
Right.
There's a lot of veterans that live up there, right? That have served in the last few conflicts and are living their lives out there. And like that's VA, like healthcare, it's disability, like you mentioned, and it's housing assistance. And so like if those go, like you, I am so tired and frustrated by the, you know, saying the one-liner to appease a certain demographic and actively working against it. And I'm like, you can't, we have, and it, again, it's, I always think about it like from an organizing perspective. I'm like, how do we let everybody know that Tom Tiffany is no friend of yours, you know, like, and how do we tell the people that? Because so much of this is educating the electorate.
It really is, but I can't even imagine your frustration because you actually do the door knocking and talk to folks. And we could bring up so many Wisconsin politicians. Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman comes to mind, a whole bunch of them. What are their accomplishments and what have they actually brought back to Wisconsin for the constituents? You might not like Tammy Baldwin, but Tammy Baldwin brings it home. She does. Mm-hmm. She brings money back to Wisconsin for projects in Wisconsin, as opposed to Ron Johnson, who's he loves to be on TV. He's very good at it. He's on all the time.
He finds that camera, does he?
He does. I'm sure they just seek him out. He doesn't really want the attention. But yeah, it's got to be like talking to a brick wall sometimes when you talk to folks. But is it just, again, the ingrained of I'm a Republican no matter what? Is that what you hear at doors?
It's a lot of historical, you know, like, and like we mentioned, the othering of entire swaths of humanity. And I think the same thing is done to us politically nowadays. And I will like our focus in Outagamie County, like going up to the April election, of course, with the Supreme Court. But throughout is just going to be like being face to face with our neighbors, because that is the only way in to break through all of this. So it's getting, you know, organized and empowered in our local communities to be able to like have these kind of conversations at their door. Because if it's not right in your face and you're not experiencing it directly, it's really difficult to get anyone to care or to think anything different.
And you bring up something really important too, Emily. Now is the time to get involved. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I know people are tired. I know people are worried. Channel it somewhere. Do something. Contact your local county organizing party. Get involved, knock on doors. One of our listeners said you can start sending out postcards. They're doing postcards now for the April 1st election, the big, big Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin. There are things you can do, small things to much bigger things, but take that despair and put it somewhere that's useful. You will feel better.
Yeah, I will say like I've kind of been digesting like what's been coming out of Washington in ways that are manageable for me, because that's just like self-care. Yeah. And it's like, you're at, this is shock and awe, where it's meant to overwhelm you and it's meant to inundate you. And like to counteract that, you just have to do the work and do the work in the way that you can in the small area that you can. If we all do that and carry a little bit of the load, we'll see, you know, positive results. And that's important.
Emily Sefos has been our guest. She's going to join us again on Monday when Greg is gone. Thank you so very much, Emily. Really appreciate it. We got news coming up next. Stay with us. You were listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington, where a complicated search and rescue operation is continuing in the Potomac River after two aircraft collided. This man's wife was on board and told WUSA-TV,
I'm just praying that somebody's pulling her out of the river right now as we speak. That's all I can pray for. I'm just praying to God.
When was the last time you spoke with her?
She texted me that they were landing in 20 minutes.
19 bodies have now been recovered from three debris fields. A dive team found what appears to be one of the two black boxes. More from CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
The helicopter that collided near Reagan National Airport with an American Eagle jet out of Wichita, Kansas, was on a training flight, according to a U.S. military spokesperson. American Airlines CEO Robert Isom says in a video statement,
our team of highly trained professionals will be working around the clock to support our passengers, crew, and their families, however we can.